Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Buddy. I'm 8 years old. I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
Been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're here. I hope everyone got the message. We had Toyota call all our listeners and leave messages at their home that was starting at 2 o'clock today. So, did you get that done?
Yeah, it took all day, but...
Okay, good. So,
the only thing is, like the food order, we messed it up and told some of them different times.
Oh, okay.
What?
We forgot to say Eastern time, so.
Oh, people were tuning in wherever they are
all
around
over the
world.
Yeah, right. A lot of people are going to be tuning in at 5 today.
Right. Anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress, a special time because today was the first of three mandatory mini camps for the New England Patriots. And we've got reports direct from there. We were there all day. Even I came out and watched a little practice. Andy's not here, though. He's decided that the first day of minicamp would be a good day to take vacation.
As Paul noted on the blog.
And you allowed it to happen.
Right.
Fred didn't really know there was minicamp today.
Fred got to the bottom of it, though. He's really undergoing head reduction surgery.
I don't look right what day. When you guys submit, I just make sure that you have enough time, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's what we love about
I'm
you,
going
Fred.
During the training camp preview issue, so
that's what we love.
I'll reserve my thoughts.
Anyway, we'll be here until 4 o'clock today, Eastern Time. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Right off the bat, guys. Minicamp, everybody was there.
Except one guy. Right.
Logan Mankins, that's the story of the day.
Yep.
I think the consensus here among us is that he screwed up. We're not falling on his side.
No.
I'm clearly on the side. Based on what I know right now, I'm clearly on the side of the Patriots. And the reason is pretty simple. I'm just not sure exactly what Logan Mankins wants.
Based on Jarry Evans' contract.
Right. Based on everything that we do know, some of our listeners might not be aware of all of the timetable from yesterday afternoon, but Mankins himself has explained the situation that he and his agent went to the Patriots before the 2009 season looking for an extension. At the time, he was 1 year before he was about to hit free agency. He was told that let's play the 2009 season out because of the uncertainty of the CBA. Let's play 2009 out, and we'll address it at that point. Mankins is all upset because he feels like the team hasn't lived up to its word. They've sort of gone back on that. The Patriots have made, in my opinion, a substantial contract offer, which, depending on what you the different places you read, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 years and $35 million. with so an annual value of $7 million per year in any regard. Mankins is claiming that he had the situation hasn't been addressed. They're not of their principle. I thought they were of their men of their word. This is what the Patriots has been built upon as being the Patriot way. Why are they not taking right. care of me? And this is not about how much they're offering or whatever. They are. They right. they're negotiating with you, and based on what we've heard, Freddie.
Yeah.
The Mankins camp hasn't really offered any counter proposals or right. any negotiating back and forth. They're simply saying, we're not getting what we want.
Yeah.
The contract offer that we have heard puts him among the top five paid guards in football. I think that's more than fair for a guy of Logan Mankins' caliber. I think he's an excellent player. I think he's an excellent person. I enjoy talking to the guy. But if a guy is going to sit there and say, I haven't been dealt with, and he's been offered a contract that would pay him among the top five at his position, I don't really see where he has a leg to stand on. In turn, the team has, in fact, rescinded that tender offer of $3.268 million, and he's now due 110% of his 2009 salary, which is about $1.54 million, so a substantial drop of $1.7 million.
Right.
And if he ever comes back,
yeah,
that's what he's going to play for the Patriots unless something can happen. But I got to tell you, with the comments that he made to Mike Reese yesterday on ESPN Boston, talking about the principles of the ownership and Robert Kraft in particular, I thought he was a man of his word and blah, blah, blah. You don't speak out against the family, Fred. And I don't blame the Patriots for being upset about this if they are. We haven't talked to the Krafts about this. We talked to Robert Kraft yesterday at the Leadership Blitz, but yeah, Mankins' situation didn't come
yet.
Up.
That hadn't
it hadn't,
transpired
it hadn't
yet.
Happened yet.
That was earlier.
I could certainly understand. Logan Mankins has a lot of groveling to do if he's to be back with the Patriots again.
I agree. The only way that this negotiation process opens up again is it starts with an apology
and
from Logan Mankins.
If Freddie, I don't know about you, but this seemed very uncharacteristic to me for Mankins to come out that...
Do we really know who this guy is?
I mean, based on what we do know about him, the times we've talked to him, it didn't seem like the kind of reaction that any of us were expecting.
See, I was, and you know this from our thing last week. I think that it meant a lot to him, the principle of it, you know, talking about this is what they said they were going to do. Now I want them to do it. What I don't understand what Mankins is doing is what exactly does he want? Is
right.
it I am the number one paid guard and that's it? Because that's what it seems like.
I mean, they address,
it's either Jari Evans' money or nothing.
According to what Mankins said, the Patriots did exactly what they said they were going to do.
That's what I don't get.
They
addressed it.
Right.
Now, he may not like how they addressed it.
Right.
But from
and
what
also
I've
may
heard,
be stuff
they haven't given a counteroffer.
There also may be stuff among the structure of the deal that we don't know about. Maybe. You know, maybe because, you know, he still has this year left. And maybe the Patriots wanted to keep that in place and make it 5 years going forward.
So let's negotiate.
But that takes the annual value down a little bit.
But so let's negotiate. He didn't say anything about the what they've offered is an insult. He didn't say anything about that.
He didn't.
Right?
He didn't use that word. He didn't call it an insult. He just said that they said they would do this and they haven't. Well, I don't know exactly what he is expecting them to do. This is what they said they were going to do based on what Mankins has said.
But I was surprised.
You notice that his agent really hasn't said anything?
No.
This is. I think this is Logan driving the ship.
Yeah. Now, I know, Paul, we argued in debate Friday whether we thought Mankins would be here or not. I knew your stance on it.
Yeah.
I was just surprised at the level of anger that Mankins seemed to express publicly about it. I mean, if he was going to...
If he were
going to sit out and release a statement saying so, I thought it would be more of a tenor of like, you know, contract negotiations are routinely tough. I've decided in the best interest of my family, I'm not going to be here. Something a little bit more.
I agree.
Stayed, you know. I was shocked by the nasty tenor of that.
Yeah, it seems like
conversation
to steal Mike in Puerto Rico's line about me. It seems like Logan
went
from
zero
to hot.
He did
in
a day. Exactly right.
You know, and I don't know. Maybe he's been hot all along, and we just didn't know it. But it seems like this really came out of nowhere, and I agree with Eric. It's out of character. What I am not surprised about is I think that it's not necessarily about the money specifically. It's always about the money. I don't want to say it's not about it at all. But I think that for him, the more important aspect was how it all came about, the principle of the thing. I think he's a man of his word. So that's why I wasn't surprised that he is not here. I wasn't surprised that he planned on holding out. I am surprised, as Eric said, with the anger that he expressed yesterday to Mike Reese. I'm surprised by
that. And not even really saying, you know, I'm disappointed in the first offer.
Yeah, very easy.
We'll
way
work
to go
it out or whatever. He said, nope, I don't like it. I want out.
Well,
I'm
done.
Two sentence release. I am disappointed that we have yet to reach an agreement on a long-term extension. I hope to still work in the next 6 weeks before training camp. We continue to talk about
kinda
that.
Kind of like what Wilfork did.
And until then, I don't plan on, on coming.
Well, I'm, what
well
I
th- no, Wilfork didn't hold out. I think Mankins would have planned on holding out.
But I think what transpired is basically Patriots made him an offer. They came back and said, nope, you know. And Patriots, well, what do you want? We want Jari Evans. And the Patriots said, we're not giving you Jari Evans. And then Mankins camp, they never gave a counterproposal. And, you know, Patriots like, well, that's what we're offering. Expecting to get some type of counter, and the counter that they got was, we want Evans' contract. Well, the answer is no. So now what? You know, and if that's what he means by them not, Patriots not living up to their word, again, I'm with Paul. I don't know exactly what he's looking for there.
And that's the part that surprised me, and I'm with Eric 100% on that. I just, the fact that he seemingly got very angry very quickly about this whole thing, and now here we are. He, by the way, we should add that in part of that rant yesterday, for those of you who didn't see it yet, I'm sure that most of our listeners, that they're always ahead of the game on this stuff. I'm sure they know, but he demanded a trade. I no longer want to play there.
I don't need to be
there. I don't need to be there. I want to trade. Yeah. So I really think
he's really burned some bridges in a hurry.
Things can change. We've seen things change a lot in the past, but to me, the difference for me is that these were comments directed right toward the people that are paying his salary.
Right.
And I don't think that's a wise thing to do. And I don't think he can continue to play here without a serious, significant show of
contrition.
Great word. Contrition. Because Ty Law had some comments about Bill Belichick. Well, that's kind of football. You can get past that. Coach says things to a player in the heat of battle. A player can say things to a coach in a situation like that.
And what do you get?
Well, I say, what's up, Bill?
What's up, Bill?
You know, and you get past it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same thing here.
It doesn't seem
that
way.
I think Mankins has to do something out of the ordinary to win back trust of someone who's going to – I'm going to hand this guy $50 million, and he's going to say this kind of stuff about me?
Right.
And I don't blame the Patriots for having that reaction if, in fact, they do. I think they need to trade the guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll happen before training camp at the earliest.
What can you get?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think you might be able to get a
first round pick out of it. He was a first round pick. He's played at a Pro Bowl level. He's in the prime of his career. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for a first rounder.
You know,
I think you could get a first rounder, maybe a second and a third or something like that. But
yeah, something else extra.
I threw a first and a third out there just because that was the compensation he was due as a restricted free agent. I don't think they'll get a first and a third for him because you have to remember that in addition to giving up a first and a third, a team is also going to have to pay him.
Right.
Probably $50+ million. 56. Jari Evans' deal is 7 years, 56 and change.
Right.
That's what he's looking for, folks. So that's what it's going to cost you.
A lot of times when in these situations you get to the new team, you become a little bit more flexible. But, I don't know. But I have a theory. I have an idea that might help the owners. I mean, the owners can't collude. They can't go, even though players will accuse him of that, you know, we're not going to, you know, do a lot of trading with this restricted free agent thing. And, you know, so players are complaining that there wasn't enough activity in that market this year. But then on the owner's side, you know, you get a situation like Logan Mankins where he wants to be the highest paid player at his position. And in his mind, he's comparing his skill level to the people, at the same position, and probably using the fact that he went to Pro Bowls as one of the markers.
I'm not criticizing Mankins for thinking that he's that good of a player.
No, but here's what I say. I say that they should get rid of the Pro Bowl, period. I think the owners can't collude, but what they can do within the rules is get rid of the Pro Bowl. And then the players have one less thing to compare themselves to other players to, so they can't cite, hey, I've made a Pro Bowl every year except 1 year of my career. You need to pay me because.
So what if you get rid of the? Are you going to get rid of the All Pro teams?
All Pro, but see, All Pro is more of an accurate.
Yeah, and Mankins is a two-time All Pro.
Yeah, just is it two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's more of an accurate Pro Bowl. They're all using Pro Bowl as a gauge to how good I am in the league. Pro Bowl means nothing in this NFL. It really doesn't. It's just a popularity contest, especially
I understand what
on
you're
the
saying,
offensive
but you're
line.
You're taking it too far.
Especially on the offensive line.
Well, Logan
really
Mankins
know?
Isn't a Pro Bowler because of a popularity contest.
No, he's pretty good. But
how many
touchdowns
did Wes Welker score?
Well, no, but
that's a good point.
How often over the last 3 years have we said we think the line's good, but we really don't know because sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not good.
Yeah, but I don't think Mankins is good sometimes and not good sometimes. I think he's one of the best guards in football.
I think he is too, but I'm only going about, you know, it's that Richard Seymour thing and everything.
I also
you
think
know,
Richard Seymour was one of the best defensive linemen.
Really? I mean, how do we really know? We know by what other people say, and you know, we don't see him getting killed out there. But for us, we don't have the coaches' tape. We don't know the assignments. They go by and you know they grade these guys after the game based on what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, but don't you disagree with what people think about certain players sometimes?
I do, but it's hard for a layman like us or anyone that doesn't put in the time with the coaches tape to really know how good a player like an offensive lineman is.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's really hard.
It's the hardest.
Yeah.
Especially the interior lineman. At least the tackle, you can see pass protection and stuff like that. You know, they're on an island sometimes, and you can evaluate that. Guards
I mean,
are a little bit harder.
How often in a game do you see, you know, a guard get hurt, they put in the second stringer, and you don't even notice.
Yeah.
You don't even notice.
Well, and that's the number one reason why I would take the Patriots side on this. Is because I don't think that you lose, you know, anywhere near what you would lose going from Randy Moss as your number one receiver to somebody else, or Tom Brady as your quarterback to someone else.
Right.
Going from Logan Mankins to, and we should point out, Nick Kazier again, back on the field today at minicamp. He was with that group with Matt Light and Dan Cope and Stephen Neal and Sebastian Vollmer at right tackle. How much do you lose there?
Right.
I don't think that Nick Kazier is as good a left guard as Logan Mankins, but is the difference, you know, is it going to cost you games?
Right.
And I also want to point out before we move on, just as a minicamp note here, I thought it was interesting, and you noticed this too, Freddie, out there, Dan Connolly was rotating in with Kazier and Dan Copen.
Right.
So one play, it would start off with Kazier at left guard and Copen at center, then Connolly would come in and replace Kazier. The next play, Kazier would return, Copen would leave, Conley would move over to center. And those three players would participate in two out of every three plays on a rotation like that. So that's interesting.
They're definitely looking at Kazier at left guard. And I know you don't think it means anything, but they were doing this right in front of
it
the TV
cameras.
It doesn't
mean anything.
It does matter. It matters.
Well, they've been doing that all spring, though, Fred.
And he thinks it's on purpose.
Because of Mankins. They want the media to see that they've moved on mentally. This is the first time I can remember. Have they moved on mentally from anything on defense?
Why do they have the defense way over on the other
side?
There's only one guy there, not there, and that's Mankins.
Do you think they knew that Mankins was going to have this kind of reaction?
Yes. Well, no, they knew he wasn't going to be there.
They knew back in the OTAs that he wasn't going to be here for mandatory minicamp?
He wasn't there. They did it in OTAs, too.
Yes, but I'm saying
there were a lot of guys.
But you were saying.
So why didn't they have the defense?
You were saying they were sending a message back then.
Yes.
But he could have very well shown up and signed his tender and been here already.
Why do they
are operating under the assumption that that Logan Mankins is not going to play for this team
at all.
But what if
that was the message they were trying to send back in spring OTAs?
They're trying to tell him we're going to try Nick Kazier in your spot.
But what if I told you that
I'm telling you
whether they have Kazier there or not? I don't know if that's a message. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Andy made fun of us. I think the fact that they have a legitimate NFL starter playing there might be something more than just the next guy in line. The fields go parallel to the stands during the spring. They're going to change in training camp and go the other way. The offensive line, that's where they work out in the spring. I don't think there's anything to do with the location of Dante Scarnecchia.
I think every bit of that practice is choreographed. I think
in the spring, that's the way it's choreographed. That's what I'm saying.
They decide we're going to put linebackers in the far right. We're going to put
That's usually how it works. That's all I'm saying. How it ends up playing out.
It's
specifically because of Logan Mankins.
Yes.
I think everything they do is scripted. Yes. And this is the script. But it has nothing to do with Logan Mankins.
And they don't like to deviate from that for year to year. So they know, okay, it's springtime. The fields are going to be vertically instead of horizontally, the way they paint them. The O-line, like Paul said, is going to work on this end.
They didn't have to put linemen where they put them. They could have put them in the other corner.
But that's how they normally do it, Fred.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Guys.
In the spring, that's where they do it.
In training camp, they have the far end of the field.
I forget the guy's name now, but the wrestler last year.
Jermaine Porter.
Yes, I can remember specifically him working with that
right
big
down in
weight
front of us.
Right in front of us on that hill.
Exactly.
After practice, same exact spot.
I can remember walking to the far side just to see the linemen.
In training camp,
spring.
They're on the far end.
Not in spring because you're not allowed to go over there in the spring.
In
the summer.
In the spring. I guarantee.
Fred is.
There's different rules for Fred.
I guarantee you guys.
But we're not allowed to go over there in the spring.
They consciously put the linemen in front of the TV
cameras.
Can we
just move on? It's not worth – we tell you what is what, and you don't believe us. So let's just move on to another thing. Okay. We're all in agreement on Mankins. It's going to make for a boring show.
Well, let's get into the mini camp itself. Besides Logan Mankins,
you might hear some typing in the background. That's just me finishing up the update for Patriots.com. So it's almost ready.
There's already some stuff up on the blog if you guys are interested in that. I know I can't hold a candle to Andy Hart's nonsensical practice observations. I had nothing about the big tire in the corner. I had nothing about geese flying overhead. I apologize 1,000 times for that. But I did the best I could.
Other than that, though, every player was there other than Logan Mankins. Full attendance.
Yes, full attendance.
Once again, Wes Welker was out there.
Same pattern for Welker.
Yep.
He was out there for the pre-practice drills. Did some, the positional work against no defense. As soon as they got together for the team periods where they're going 7-on-7 against people and 11-on-11, he went into the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse and I would say, maybe 10 minutes before the team left?
About
15
minutes beforehand, he showed up and went down. Made his
Brady
exit. Did not speak to the media.
No.
Brady was there, obviously. Looked great, I thought.
I thought he was all right.
Yeah, good velocity on the ball.
Oh, there was one pass that was so good. Your eyes popped out of your head. I mean, it's a deep, like a deep out pattern that he just frozen rope. Perfect throw. I think it was Crumpler.
He made up for last week's practice, the last OTA we saw, which was
I thought he
not
was a little erratic practice. Today, though, to be honest with you. At one point, I had Fred next to me. At one point, Fred had his head buried in his hands.
I think
he was sad.
What was that?
Well, on a bad Brady throw, and I made fun of you. I said, why? Does this mean that you're not going to be able to say you've never seen him look better now?
Oh, I probably had my head in the hands for something else. But obviously, they were just in shorts, shells, helmets on. So it's really, there was no contact, obviously, a lot of route running, a lot of, squad drills, unit drills, the defense was on the far side. The offensive ones were in front of us. The defensive ones were in the far field.
Yes. That was early before you left.
Yeah.
Then they did some teamwork, a lot of down and distance stuff, quote unquote, ones against ones. And Edelman, to me, continues to impress. I think he looks really, really good, looks really comfortable, if that's a good – probably not a word that he likes, and I talked to him last week, and he doesn't really like that word. But I think he has stood out. Defensively, though, to me, the thing that's still the most noteworthy, it's amazing how many players get, actively involved in what's going on. The defensive backs is a cast of thousands right now.
Yeah.
They're all out there. It's all this. It's McGowan. It's Merriweather. It's Sanders. It's Chung. The corners. It's Butler. It's McCourty. It's Wilhite. It's Wheatley. It's a little less Lee Bodden today. I think that may have had something to do with the fact that he looked like he got shaken up a little bit the last OTA we were out there. He didn't get as much run, but those guys are constantly on and off the field.
Yeah.
Linebackers, same thing. Started off with Burgess and Bantakane outside. Guyton and Mayo
all
inside,
kinds of combinations.
But forget about that.
Myriad
it means
combinations.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It was guys just coming and going constantly. No two alignments, no two lineups were the same from one play to the next. So they're still, I think, sifting through as many as 25 players, I would say.
Easily.
With that back seven.
Sure.
Up front, or the back eight, really. Up front, I would say it's the what do we call it? The World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web.
Warren Wolf Fork.
Yep. What about the linebackers? Is
all kinds of
chaos. What did I just say?
Back seven.
The whole back seven.
And I said back
eight.
Because really.
They have the three up front.
Right. Okay. What else?
Lot of guys getting time.
Yeah, Belichick spending most of his free time with the defense, you would say?
I just think he's overseeing everything.
Yeah.
I think he's Bill.
I've been trying to pay more attention to the players than to what the coaching situation is because...
Well, Andy is able to pay attention to everything for some reason.
No, Andy likes to pretend he's paying attention to everything.
Andy doesn't miss anything.
He's usually yapping all practice. And then he's asking, who was that on that play? And then he writes down a note and then he
makes a fat joke at me and another kind of joke at Eric. Yeah. And he laughs at himself.
Okay. So that's about it, right?
I should say Zoltan Mesko. Yeah.
Yes,
I
looked much better.
Looked really good today. He worked on some plus 50 punting early. Eric saw him booming some punts out of the end zone later.
Yeah.
Thought he looked good.
Now that they've gotten rid of David King, he feels maybe less pressure. He's a little bit more relaxed. He's booming it a little bit, you know?
Yep, King was hot on his head. Who talked after?
Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, Stephen Neal,
Dan
Conley.
Well, we should say I and Paul and several others requested Nick Kazier,
who flatly declined
to talk to anybody. So they made...
Smart.
They made Dan Connolly and Steve Neal available, so we got a little bit of quotes from them. I'm posting my story right now on Patriots.com. Should be up momentarily. If you want to read some of those quotes,
Steve Neal doesn't have the internet or
cable television.
Cable television.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
What does he do for his free time?
I don't know.
Wrestles. He doesn't have the internet or cable TV
at his home. Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Where does he get his news?
He doesn't. That was the point.
Yeah, he doesn't get any news.
We're asking him questions
says
about Mankins.
Anyway.
And
he's probably.
He did on Friday.
I'm calling
him.
He
and his wife went out with Logan and his wife on Friday.
Yeah.
And he claimed that they didn't talk about football at all. It was just, just out with our wives.
Yeah, I'm calling BS.
I'll call BS on that one.
Yeah, I definitely
have to agree.
He had
to say that because someone might have seen them.
I don't call BS on the fact that he doesn't have the internet.
Oh, I'm calling BS.
I'm not. Why would you say that if you had
in today's world you kind of
because he was doing all that stuff for the wrestling
that's true
thing
that's true.
Well, he might have someone who runs a website for him. That doesn't mean he has the internet in his home.
He's got it.
He has access to it somewhere. He might not have it in his home though.
Yeah.
As Paul,
you could say you don't go on the internet though if you wanted to lie about it. You know, you wouldn't say you don't have it.
That's my point. Who else? So Ty Warren, Stephen Neal, Dan Conley, Vince Wilfork. I think Brian Hoyer spoke.
Yeah, Hoyer had a little session.
In that. Not that many.
All right.
Not that many. Rookies were off limits today. Tom Brady not speaking today, I'm told, will not be speaking throughout the mini camp.
Is that right?
Yep.
Why is that?
Whoa. He was that's different than from the schedule we were given.
That is correct. I'm told that he will not be speaking this week. So probably we will not get him again until training camp.
Is he not speaking until he gets a haircut or is he not getting a haircut?
Again, we will not get him until training camp.
Not sure which one's which there.
Wow. And then Belichick had a press conference this morning, and I watched some of that, and really not much to get out of that. People asked about Logan Mankins, but...
to no avail.
It is what it is. You know, that's between the player and the team. He would refuse to answer any question about that. We learned that these are teaching camps. So,
He didn't really... He didn't really offer anything of any value at his presence, would you say? I mean, I can't even think of one thing that you said, that was kind of interesting.
Nothing.
All right. So that's the update on the mini camp. We got a lot of emails, a lot on Logan Mankins, as well as other topics, and we'll get to them right after this.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel. Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian. 1991 Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello!
And it was like,
hello!
It was like a weird deformity. Like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
Hello.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress.
That's just still every bit as disturbing as it was the first time you told it.
Well, what can I say?
A lot of emails at webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Juve says, a lot of emails. I listen to the show live all the time at work. I don't get a chance to email you. This is my second email. You guys do a great job of entertaining and informing. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are like myself and don't have time to let you know that we are really appreciative and enjoy the show. Keep up the great work. I live in West Palm Beach, but I'm originally from Bristol, Rhode Island.
Hey, so roadie man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of roadie man, how you doing?
Doing fine.
How you
finishing posting my update?
How are
here.
You making out on your quest?
I'm almost done posting the update. Friend.
That's not the quest I'm talking
about. Oh, what quest are you talking about then? I'm sorry.
You know.
No, I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't.
Are you making
follow.
Any progress with?
I'm not talking about.
Are you making any progress in the land of Patriots today?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Patriots today.
I don't know. She writes in. She says
it's
Lindsay.
Yeah, it's
or
not.
Three Wise, as you like to call me. Just wanted to thank all the fans and the guys that welcomed me on the radio show. Paul and Andy were great. And I can't wait to meet the other two guys. I've heard good things about Fred and Brian. And I look forward to meeting the rest of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
That is great.
What? Yeah. Oh, she forgot someone.
It's that really wasn't Lindsay writing in.
How do you know?
Because I get the emails too, Fred.
Oh, you are so clever.
Wow. Chris from Connecticut writes in. He used to be Chris from the
Chris
blog.
From Stanford?
Yeah, now he's from Stanford. He says, well, I hope that Mankin's 2010 doesn't turn out like Branch 2006. That said, please put on your GM hats and let us know what you do for the following situations. A, Mankins, trade, pay, leave him hanging, or what? Who takes his place?
Well,
I would trade him, and I'd say Kazier at this point.
And
I would trust, you know, I know it sounds like a cop-out. I would trust the coaching staff to say, is it Conley, is it Kazier,
right.
You know, whoever it is, whoever they deem the best. That's fine with me.
Yep.
But I actually think that it's going to turn out, I would be happy if it turned out like, I should say, like Branch in 06. They get a first-round pick for him?
Yeah.
I think that's good. A good resolution.
You know who this kind of, if he had any doubts about himself, kind of takes him away is Matt Light. Because now you need Matt.
Now you kind of need Matt Light.
If Cash is the guy they right. deem is the best alternative at left guard, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Next one, the running backs. Not liking what it says that the other Taylor's back in Clayton has been added to the fold. Whom do you keep, and do you make any trades with what you have? They need running backs in camp. I mean,
yeah.
You know, every year they have.
I agree.
I would let that play itself out.
Pass catchers, who are your favorites?
I mean, I'm
maybe
assuming
other than Moss and Walker.
Yeah, I assume you're talking about the among the unknowns. I think Edelman has really been
Edelman
impressive.
Has really
what
stepped
number
up.
What numbers, Tate? 19?
19, yeah.
He looks good.
See, I've been unimpressed with him.
See,
As a receiver, he looks good. I think he looks okay as a return man.
No, as a receiver, he looks really good.
Man. Now, I'm going to
noticeably better than a lot of the other guys.
I'm going to withhold judgment until training camp, and then probably even then until a preseason game or two.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's fair to judge. Okay. I have not been overwhelmed.
No, I'm just looking at what I see
right now. I liked the little I saw of Price today. I thought he looked smooth.
He did look pretty good.
I thought he made a terrific catch on a high
pass from
Brady.
He'll be back tomorrow.
He just looks really athletic to me. Looks, you know, to steal Fred's line about Terrence Williams, looks like he's done this before. It looks like he's played this position.
Making it look easy. Pass rushes, what can you make out of a potentially scary situation?
Nothing at this point. They're not in pads. They're running to the quarterback, and they have to let up, and the quarterback gets to continue on with the play.
Nobody's really
blocking.
You can't tell today
they blitzed a lot. They had a lot of nickel and dime packages on the field, and a lot of defensive backs were coming. But again, like Eric said, who knows if they were successful.
Right. Gronkowski, do you invite him up to your summer rental in New Hampshire, share a few beers, and just see what develops? Sorry, that question specifically for Andy.
Yeah, that's just Andy.
Oh, okay. Thanks, guys. Well, that was funny. What was I watching? I was watching a show, and, what was I watching? One of the guys was talking to another guy, and he was impressed by him, and he says, How do I ask him to go camping with me without making it sound gay? Oh, it was that Parks and Recreation. You ever watch that show?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
The Ron Swanson character. He's like this libertarian, gun-loving guy. And he was really impressed with another guy. Just, how do I ask him to go camping with me without it sounding gay?
You don't.
You don't ask, or you just don't.
No, without it sounding gay. I mean,
maybe you could
you
ask him
that?
To play tennis.
Thanks.
Oh.
Spider, you're going to take that from Spider?
Yeah, seriously. Wow. Fred, come on.
I'll have to tell his boss.
It's true. By the way, is he your boss now?
Dvorkin, I think he's out 25 people.
Dvorkin is your boss
he's
now?
He's a director now.
I'm not sure who falls underneath him, but.
Wait,
I don't know either.
thanks, guys. Enjoying the show and like listening to Lindsay Petrucci's visit. Not a terrible idea to have her on once in a while. That's what Eric says.
I know.
So,
it's not a terrible idea at all.
To have her on.
Or be on her.
Stop, Fred.
It's terrible.
There's a line. You just crossed
it's
the
terrible.
Line.
By the way, I liked her hair today. If you go later on Patriots.com to watch today's Patriots Today, I like her hairstyle today better than what
the straight
it's
versus the curly.
I like the straight.
I would wholeheartedly agree, although I'd leave that generally. I would leave that opinion to myself.
I know. I wouldn't have brought that up on the air, but
I
that's
just like
what
it.
Makes Fred Fred.
Well, I mean, you know, girls they can do that. They can change their hairstyle. Guys do it, and they call him Tom Brady.
Well, he's not changing his hairstyle. He doesn't have one anymore.
No, he's got long hair now.
It's Justin Bieber.
That's a good look. That's what it is.
It's a good.
It's the mop.
It's not a good look.
It's a good description. It's not a good look.
No,
it's a mop head, right? Is that what they call it?
It's a mop. It's an unkempt, disheveled
mess. In lacrosse,
mess.
They have this thing called the flow. When guys have good flow, it has nothing to do with urination. It's the hairstyle. It's a lacrosse hairstyle.
Oh, okay. I noticed that your boy, the Duxbury kid from Duke,
Quinzani,
went pro and had a couple of goals in his debut.
I'm surprised.
For the Cannons.
Well, I'm surprised. I didn't know he was going pro.
Where's this pro lacrosse league?
Well, he was. Harvard. I think he's a senior.
No, I mean, there's a pro lacrosse league.
I didn't think he was going to play MLL.
In this country?
Lacrosse, yeah. There's a team in Boston.
I think he had a couple of goals.
Actually, the league headquarters are in Boston.
Yeah, there's only six teams.
So it's like the UFL?
Yeah. They actually went down. They had 10 at one point, and they went down to 6.
Is this going
to
be rude if I start eating in front of you, Paul?
No, it's just going to make me hungry.
Give him a bite.
I don't think he wants
that. Paul hasn't eaten. This is not good.
This is not good. You got to feed the bear.
Mike in Pensacola, hey, men of PFW, and Eric.
Screw you,
Mike. I was wondering what you think of the Patriots' backup plan at guard if Mankins is traded before the start of the season. Would it be possible that Stephen Neal moves to left, Mark LeVar, or Nick Kasier moves to right? Also, what type of value do you think Mankins could garner on the trade market? I think we could only get a first-round pick. I'll take it.
Only?
Due to the current situation. Also, what teams do you think would have interest in Mankins? Also, on another note, who do you think will be the kick returners this year for the Pats? I think it'll be Tate and Wheatley. Thanks, Fred. Keep up the good work.
Well, they've both been getting some run. I think maybe Butler, you have to throw Butler in that equation, too, as far as kick returns. Punt returns, we already mentioned some of the guys who've been doing that.
You know, as far as, Edelman, you know, we already talked about, they've been looking at Kasier at left guard and putting in Dan Connolly there. So they've got some options. I don't think moving Steve Neal over is one of them. I think they would have done that already.
I think that Neal has the ability, but I don't think it makes much sense at this point. He's played so much right guard.
But not the inclination.
And I don't know if it I just don't know if it makes a lot of sense. I think you might risk weakening two spots if you did that.
Yeah. The only argument, Paul, would be that Kasier, maybe since he's played on the right most of the time, might be a little bit easier for him to switch over just one spot as opposed to three.
Now,
but
that is true. He has played on the left side, though. He played his whole rookie year. He played left tackle when Matt Light went down in Pittsburgh. I would say that a first-round pick you would jump at. Now, I don't know about all the teams and who would need a guard. I think that's one of those deals, Freddie, that you have to wait till training camp and then maybe see if someone loses a lineman. You know, someone gets their depth affected with a big-time injury during training camp, and then maybe you can get a team a little bit more willing to pay you.
Try to talk to Denver, maybe try to get Elvis Dumervil.
You know,
Dallas. Try to get DeMarcus Ware. I don't know.
Well, DeMarcus Ware just signed a huge extension.
Well,
he's not going anywhere.
That's all right.
But Dumervil is not a bad. I mean, one problem for another.
He signed his tender. So
I don't think necessarily that Dumervil is the Patriots' style, but I would take him in a heartbeat and make him my style.
Right. Use him somewhere.
But yeah, I think that there's a lot of those different things that you can do. But I think it might be easier to do once you see what happens in training camp in terms of what teams find out that they need. Once they get the pads on and maybe someone gets banged up and maybe you can get someone overpay. And you'd be remiss if you didn't immediately call Oakland and see if they want to give you their entire team for them because you never know.
Right.
Maybe call San Francisco since he's from California to try to get Patrick Willis out of that
deal.
Well,
that's my Brady.
Are you kidding me?
You're not. I mean,
sound like talk radio, Eric.
Let's base it on at least a little bit of reality. We're not getting Patrick Willis for Logan Mankins. I was thinking Brady and Mankins for a one in Patrick Willis.
All right, I'll take that.
Travis from Tally, first great show on Thursday, a classic show that I had to listen to twice because it was so funny. Second, on the whole Mankins contract, I feel that if it's the ballpark of $7 million and he's not happy, then we should trade him. He is one of the top five guards in the league, and there is no reason to pay him some ridiculous amount of money to play guard. Also, in your guys' collective opinion, who do you think will replace his spot in the roster? Does someone come up from the practice squad, or does one of the – we talked about that. Thanks for the entertainment. And
Kasier Conley, I think, are the two guys you have to keep an eye on this summer.
Right.
I think it'll be one of those two guys unless they really deem themselves being
Larson,
in trouble.
Unless Larson, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they wouldn't do it because he's a rookie, but maybe he emerges during training camp.
Yeah, Ted Larson, I thought was interesting. There was a group that came in after the, you know, what we think of the starters, and he was – He was out there. George Bussey and Ted Larson were at left guard and right guard, respectively. So Rich Ornberger not in that mix, at least today, just one day.
Let's see. Barron writes it. If Mankins is traded, do you think we can get a good outside linebacker for him? Well, Eric thinks we can get Patrick Willis. Or do you think it would be best if he stays? What would you want to happen?
Ultimately, I'd like to see him go back and say, listen, you know what? I said some stupid things. I enjoy being a Patriot and apologize and being able to work out an extension that both parties are happy with. I mean, ultimately, that to me would be the best solution to the whole thing. Yeah. Because I think he's a good player. I think he's fit in well, and
he's been a good soldier to this point.
Yeah, I think that you know, this incident aside, I think he's handled himself very professionally throughout his 5 years here. So that would be, you know, if you're asking me my best case scenario, he comes to his senses.
They iron things out.
And they iron things out.
You don't think a better case would be they get a first round pick for him?
No.
No?
No. At some point, you need players, not draft picks. He's a good
player.
That's the next best thing.
But Paul's right.
Yes, I think that there's not going to be that resolution, so I want them to trade him for first round pick if they could get one.
Let's see. Chuck writes in. This all comes down to labor/management adjusting themselves for the coming lockout. How can anyone expect an employer to give away money to union members before a new contract? I'm a proud union member, but the NFLPA is not a real union. It's an association, just as the owners are. Getting past that. It's really two rich kids fighting in the schoolyard over the best-looking girl, but this looks like Ben Franklin. But this girl looks like Ben Franklin.
I understand that.
$100
bill. Monies.
Oh, okay.
Benjamins. Personally, I will be more than happy to watch replacement players. I have before, and to me, it's still football. 6 years from now, it will be back to being the best sporting experience in the country. But, Logan, if you need help packing your bags, I'm there for you. And a big hi to Vince Young. I got in a fight in a strip club once, too.
A big hi? Is that what you said?
I would agree with everything about that except for the replacement players part. It's not the same thing.
No. We went through that, and it was
abysmal.
It was just terrible.
Speaking of Vince Young, why are all these athletes always getting in fights at strip clubs?
Well,
because they're targets, and that's not a good place for them.
And what's the lesson to be learned here? Stay out of places with bad things are going to happen.
Bring the strippers to you.
Right.
You don't need to go to the
exactly.
club.
Exactly. Get a driver.
Right.
Bring the entertainment home.
Right. My God.
It's the old adage of, you know, what everybody's parents just tell them, if, you know, nothing good happens after 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., you know. There's nothing that can be gained by going to those clubs and doing these
or
kinds
of things.
Or as
my dad said, if you're not in bed by midnight, go home.
And now we have Fred.
Right. Lo and behold, here come Fred. Right.
Tacoma doesn't understand that joke. Hey, Fred and crew. Long time since I sent something in. This is Brian from Brighton. But I wanted to express some frustration with these conversations on Mankins. As Paul said, the drop-off from losing Mankins isn't the same thing as losing someone like Moss. So by that logic, when Marshall only gets 2 second rounders, there is absolutely no way we'd get a first-round pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that would be a stretch, too. I kind of agree with you.
Let me ask you this. I think that once a player demands to be traded, I get the impression that their trade value diminishes since the team loses its leverage. What do you guys think?
I think it's depending.
It depends on the
player.
Again,
it's supply and demand. I mean, who needs a guard? I think that the position is not of high value. I don't think it's one of those spots where you pay for, that you overpay for, you know?
Kansas City, though, aren't they in the midst of rebuilding that offensive line?
Yeah, and I think they just used a top five pick on Brandon Alpert, I believe, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think he's playing guard now.
All right.
I think he was drafted as a tackle. I think it was Brandon Alpert, right?
Yeah, they drafted him
as Eugene Monroe. Which one? It was one of those Virginia guys.
It was Albert. They drafted him
as a tackle. It doesn't look like he's a tackle. It looks like he's a guard. So I think he was a top five pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right.
Now you're going to pay Logan Mankins $50 million and a top five pick?
Right.
I don't think that makes a lot of sense
at
a position like guard.
Jari Evans, I mean, we don't see a lot of Saints game. We obviously saw one game where everybody in the Saints was better than everybody on the Patriots. But is he that good?
I don't know.
How do you know?
You're asking me two questions. I mean, is he that good of a player? I think probably yes. Is he worth $56 million? No. I don't think guards are worth that amount of money.
Right.
I mean, if you want to say he's a left tackle, okay. I'll pay that for a left tackle. I don't want to pay it for a guard.
Derek,
but that's me, and that's why my team would lose.
Derek is from the University of Arizona. Hey, guys, after Mankin said, I want to be traded, would you rather trade him or just try to resolve it? Paul wants to resolve it. And Eric wants to resolve it. I'll trade him for one.
You don't even want to try to resolve
it. Your best case scenario is not to resolve it. Best case scenario is just to trade him.
I think at this, like you said, unless he grovels back,
that's what
and
I'm saying.
He's going to be a good guy and all that. But how can you guarantee that?
No, you can't. You're right. You're right.
I wanted to keep him around, but after what he said, I have changed my stance. I'm sure Bill can receive pretty decent compensation for a top five guard. Oh, and when I apologized to Eric a few weeks ago, you guys asked if I am a subscriber, even though I'm a college student since I'm from Marblehead. I am saving money for my new apartment next year, but in a few months, I will subscribe.
All right.
Thanks.
I'm from Marblehead. Mom and dad can buy it.
You can subscribe in your sleep, for crying out loud. That's a howdy-towdy town. Beautiful town.
Yes, it is.
Really is. Very nice. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Toyo, anybody on the phone?
We have open phone lines.
Is it on the hook?
It's on the hook.
You sound sick over there. You all right?
Not feeling great today.
He said he would have been home a long time ago.
What's the matter?
Doc hanging him out to dry.
Where's Doc?
He's at a meeting.
What meeting?
High-level meetings.
Really?
He's trying to get me a job at EEI.
You know, Doc has an office now. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. Right across from the bathroom.
Right outside the pooper.
That's like the worst office. Because every time that door opens, you get
a waft of
that smell. And let me tell you, there's, six stalls going at it? At least four stalls going at one time there. I mean, certain times of the day.
There's a Fred right there I just gave you.
It's full occupancy.
Full occupancy.
That place is just rolling in there. Oh, my God. And you know what? The women aren't much better. That bathroom, they can stink it up, too.
In all seriousness,
they don't
where?
Stop. They don't
did
hold anything
from?
Over
Please
the guys.
Stop.
What?
Where did you come from?
And so that's a bad location.
It's all about location, as you know.
It's a bad location.
That's why Doc got it.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
What's the matter, Paul?
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Really?
Well, Andy's not here. Somebody has to.
No, nobody has to.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Got another mini camp tomorrow.
And Thursday.
That's
why we'll be 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time once again on Thursday.
But the schedule's a little bit different tomorrow.
It's a little earlier, but not. It's only like a half hour.
Yeah, it's not a big
deal. Actually, they actually moved it up a little bit today, didn't they?
Yeah, well,
Belichick ended up going before practice.
Yeah,
Belichick
would have been 1:30, which helped us out immensely as far as getting our stuff up on the web.
Now, there's no Belichick tomorrow.
No Belichick tomorrow. Practice 10:45 as opposed to 11:15 today.
Yeah.
And then players from 12:30 to 1. So that should help us with getting our stuff up.
Get your stuff
early
up.
Early tomorrow. And then Thursday, same thing, 12:45, players 12:30. Bill, approximately 1 o'clock at this point. They could change it again.
Hopefully they will change it again.
But because that worked out great.
Or
today.
Eliminate it altogether.
Either way, we're on at 2 to 4.
Right.
Again, not trying to – there's just nothing that Bill can say at this time that we need. There's no need to have him talk again.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Aaron from Sterling. Love the conversation today. It's extra logical with the absence of Andy and Doc. I'm assuming Tacoma
is
waiting until the 90-minute mark to bring up the politics of the BP oil spill.
Oh, nice shot.
He just left the studio.
Is he going to pick up food for me?
He might
would be fantastic.
Oh, ask him to.
Speaking of BP, though, Paul's guy says he has a solution.
Did you hear about this?
Bledsoe
and Troy Aikman.
Yeah. What, are they going to throw footballs down the pipe? What are they going to do?
I don't really know.
No, they are sort of like co-owners or co-investors in some company that deals with oil and water processes. And,
oh, separating oil and
water.
Yeah,
so they say that they have some sort of equipment that can be there within 72 hours cleaning up the water and all this
and
stuff.
And before you start, okay, Fred already exhausted all of the different Drew Bledsoe
it'll be just about five
done.
5 inches away from being fixed.
And Drew will do something to mess it all up. Okay, I've heard them all. There's nothing you can say that I haven't heard yesterday from Fred. So
the
stop.
News? They're saying Drew. They love me everywhere I go.
Tacoma, did you hear that last email?
No.
He said, I'm assuming Tacoma is waiting until the 90-minute mark to bring up the politics of the BP oil spill. Good. Anyway, the Mencken situation pisses me off. I've been a big Mencken supporter and loved when we drafted him. He's a real angry man in the field, and unfortunately, we now know he's the same during contract negotiations. But I'm excited that we will inevitably be getting yet another 2011 first-round pick. By my calculations, that will end up giving us 9 value picks in the second and third round next year. Hopefully, 2 of those picks will make the roster and can contribute on special teams. Well, I'm out of sarcasm, so have a great day, boys.
Yeah, that's good. It's not a great situation, but I have to agree with the emailers. I don't see what the team can do here. Yeah. Seems like the team is playing ball, and Mankins, it's all or nothing. I'm either going to get Jari Evans money, or I'm going to take my ball and go home. I don't really see what the team can do there.
Do you think that if these negotiations actually did take place face-to-face, Mankins would punch somebody in the nuts?
Nice to see him pounding on his head.
Yeah. I'll never forget that in Denver. He's on his knees in front of whoever the defensive lineman for the Broncos was, and he just hauled off and punched the guy in the groin. I mean, it wasn't even like, maybe? You know, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, half-heartedly.
It's funny because
he has a streak. There's no question. He has a mean streak that you want in an offensive lineman. Let's put it that way.
But he doesn't come across that way when you talk to him.
He's the opposite. He is so
just the total
laid back.
Opposite. Yeah. It's like he goes from zero to hot.
Well, yeah, I got to give
all
it.
All the time.
That seems to be what happened here. I don't know what the case is. But
I think that he's going to apologize and they're going to work this out. Because
you don't want
that
to happen.
No, but I think that's what is going to happen. You know?
When?
Pre-training
camp? During training camp?
I don't think it's going to fester that long.
It will be interesting to see. Yeah. I got to think that he's going to...
I think this is his last thing.
He's going to evaluate this. And when training camp comes around, he's going to say, you know... What am I looking for?
I think what someone needs to tell him, and I know you don't think it's a quote unquote mistake by the Saints, but someone needs to tell him.
No, I don't.
Someone needs to tell him, look, one guy in the league got that contract. That doesn't mean every guard in your is going to get that. That's the Saints made a unilateral decision.
No, but listen.
But that's how these things start.
But it's not like he's the only guard that got that kind of money. There's a handful of them.
Well, you know.
Steve Hutchinson.
That was the guy that started it off on that position.
You know, that was it Derek Dockery? I mean, all of a sudden, guards have blown up in the last 2 or 3 off seasons. You know, there's more 7-year, $49 million contracts for guards than you can imagine. I think Leonard Davis might have gotten one of those.
But I don't get it.
I don't understand it. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
But it's not like Jari Evans is the only one. That's why I say don't, you know, you always do that. You just say these teams want to make mistakes. The Super Bowl champs want to make mistakes.
Well,
we can make fun of the teams and, you know, for their contracts and all, but not all of them lose.
I just think that, you know, again, that's why I asked the question. Really, how good is Jari Evans? Maybe he's John Hanna, but.
I don't know. I wouldn't. If it was the next John Hanna, I wouldn't pay him.
Well, maybe I would.
I wouldn't. I don't think it's that much of a difference between the John Hanna and just the regular guy.
I thought we had the next John Hanna with Logan Mankins. Mm. Remember, Andy did that whole feature on Mankins and Hanna
story,
and all that stuff,
but,
and he's, you know, 2 Pro Bowls in 5 years.
Eric, he's in contract negotiations
with
the Patriots.
You're right.
He's no
You're
longer
right.
to be thought of
You're
on
right.
that kind of a level.
You ever see John Hanna get out pulling? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a lot of offensive linemen that can do what Hanna did.
I'll tell you a guy who looks like John Hanna when he gets out and pulls is Stephen Neal a lot.
A little bit.
With his athleticism.
He doesn't have the leg strength, though.
He's not as big as Hanna, and you know, he's not as thick as Hanna.
Yeah.
But he is an animal.
Oh, he gets out
when
there.
When he gets out in space.
Oh, yeah.
He's so athletic for a guard.
But Hanna was just a freaking freight train.
I'll never forget that block he threw in Atlanta, Stephen Neal. on a tight end screen to Daniel Graham, where he got down the field and took two guys out, and Graham leaped over both of them.
I remember that.
In the open field and went about 30 yards for a touchdown. It was just an unbelievable block.
Yep. That was in Atlanta, right?
He just doesn't listen anymore.
Tim writes in, just a few quick notes about last week's show. One, Americans will never accept soccer for one reason and one reason only. We invented better sports. And the sports
I'm sorry. I apologize for laughing at that.
And the sports we invented, we always improved with rule changes like the forward pass, the three-point shot, the designated hitter. If the world wants America to accept soccer, they should change the rules, get rid of the offsides, or require all goalies to be midgets. Two, last Thursday, somebody asked if there was a football reason for not signing Brady to a long-term contract because of age. But there is a football reason to sign him to a 6 or 7 year deal, and that reason is Brett Favre. If Favre can have an MVP-type year at 41, why couldn't Brady continue to perform at a high level? And three, when are the Wednesday PFW shows starting? I'll be listening.
Did Brett Favre win the Super Bowl last year?
During the season.
Yeah.
I would say that Brett Favre had an MVP year last year.
Well, here's
2 years ago he didn't.
As much as we make fun of Brett Favre,
he's great,
and he's the exception.
Yes,
guys don't do what he does at that level.
Absolutely.
At that age.
And
Tom Tupel was 41 in the league, but he wasn't doing what Brett Favre. Vinny Testaverde can't do what Brett Favre does. They're, you know, same age, but Favre is the exception.
And I just want to state, because I want to clarify. I asked the question. Is there a football argument to be made for not re-signing him? I wasn't saying that I wouldn't re-sign him. I'm asking, if you looked at it objectively and stepped back, could Robert Kraft sit there and say, you know what, it's not in the best interest of our football team to re-sign this guy, football-wise?
Right.
Is there an argument to be made? And I think that you could make one. I wouldn't agree
with
it.
And there's a difference.
I wouldn't agree with it. I want to state that clearly. I would say, football, he has plenty of good football still left.
I think
you
so.
Re-sign him.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between the two scenarios here. Favre loves football and wants to do that all the time.
Except during training camp.
Right. And
that would
be the same argument I would make. That's why I wouldn't.
But in the off season, he has nothing else. He's not traveling the world. He's not doing all these other things that Brady likes to do.
He's drinking beer on his tractor in Mississippi.
It's true.
But he's thinking about playing football.
No, he does love to play the game of football. There's no doubt about it.
That's a big difference between those two.
If there was an old-timers league, he'd be playing in it.
Yeah.
Play in the over 50 league.
Point, Freddie, about Favre, I think, is the one. I mean, I'm not saying there's no such thing as a guy who can play at a high level in his late 30s and now into his 40s. I'm not saying there's no such thing, but it's rare.
It's rare at that level.
And I also don't think that the typical Brett Favre year over the last decade is good enough.
Of course not.
And I'm saying decade.
They haven't won the Super Bowl.
Decade. I'm not saying the last 1 or 2 years. I'm saying over the last decade, the typical Brett Favre year is not good enough.
Right. Thank you, Mike Felger.
Last year, he was good enough.
Almost.
2 years ago, not good enough.
Yeah.
The year before that, he was good enough.
Right.
He had a great year in his last year in Green Bay. He had a great year last year in Minnesota. He did not have a great year in between with the Jets. In the previous 3 or 4 years with Green Bay,
that's right,
he was bad.
He'd still be there if he was, you know, played better there. You know, it's kind of like when Clemens was with the Red Sox. He left the Red Sox and all of a sudden kind of resurrected his career.
Absolutely.
Nathan.
I wonder why.
Let's see. We'll read this one, then we'll take a break. Nathan's from Southern California. Hey, guys, a couple things are bugging me. First, Christina Akra's replacement is a phony. When asked, you're from Pittsburgh, you're a Steelers fan, she replied, well, I'm an NFL fan. Talk about a closet Steelers fan. That is a problem. We're going to have to work on her on that.
Cherry
Eric, pie? Get on that.
I'm trying.
No, well, good, Eric, good. No, but we have to make her a full-fledged Patriots fan. None of this on-the-fence stuff, okay? You're either with us
or you're against us.
But I was a major bobblehead.
That's my favorite.
Also, says Nathan, comment on the guard situation with Mankins. He's staying or going. If he goes, then who will guard our quarterback? I'm sure that it's a hot topic today. You're right. How is Brady expected to be better than last year if we can't secure a suitable guard to protect him? Lord knows Brady hasn't been playing well under pressure. If anyone disagrees, then consult Mr. Andy Hart. So, Well, I mean, that is something they're going to have to work on, you know.
This is why you have coaches and evaluators. They have to figure out at what cost do we put our feet, you know, and hold our hard line and take a stance. If it's really going to negatively impact the team, then maybe you have to rethink it and say, you know what, he embarrassed us, but we don't really have much of a choice.
Right. All right, webradiopatriots.com, 508-543-7482. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Beaver Stadium.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the MassState Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter. We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got it?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Honesty is the best policy.
Hey! All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-543-7482. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And let's see, we got a lot of emails. Mike writes in, he says, I really hate to sound like a chauvinist. I don't think I am. But women talking football and you losers flirting with her has made for the two worst shows ever.
Oh, shut up.
Stop the madness, back to the Bible and Star Wars.
Shut up. How was it the two worst shows ever?
Oh, he, yeah.
We only had Lindsay on once.
Yeah. Really? You really did make a fool of yourself in that
total
show.
Total bobblehead.
It was uncomfortable, Fred. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
It wasn't uncomfortable.
I got a lot of emails that it was the worst show ever.
Oh, that's what they wanted to.
No, we also got a lot of emails about our Brady argument being the worst show ever, too.
Yeah.
Because we were yelling at each other. Yeah.
Talking over one another.
Yeah. We shouldn't do that.
As we're wanting to.
I think the arguing is okay. That's good. People like that.
The argument's good radio.
But if we talk over each other, people can't hear what we're saying.
Thank you.
What'd you say, Paper Champion?
I said, as we're wanting to do, Paul. And you left me hanging there, and he had to pick up the slack.
Well, he's got to do something.
You know, so if you talk over each other, then it is tough to listen, because I've been listening to other stations when they do that.
It's annoying.
Especially when a certain ex-football player is on, and he's just constantly...
A certain one?
or certain talking over people. It's very, very frustrating. John and Lynn, so $46 million is an insult to Mankins? Well, boo frickety who. Every time a player spouts off like that about how many more millions he should have just made, just makes me feel like even more of a sucker for paying into this industry and encouraging this nonsense. Not to mention how he turned into a human turnstile in the biggest game of his life. Oh, I not only want
that's
him,
true.
Yeah.
I not only want him gone, but want vengeance against him. I hope he sits out the year unpaid, gets fat, and doesn't make another nickel from the millions of suckers like me. I hate this part of the sport.
I do too. I would say I just want to clarify a couple of things. Based on what we've heard, it's not $46 million, it's $35 million. And I know that might not seem like a big deal to a lot of people, but that's $11 million. You know, that's a lot of money, number one. Number two, I don't ever remember him saying that's an insult. Do you?
No.
I didn't. You know, out of the comments to Mike Reese, I don't think he said
no.
That was an insult. It was more about, I thought, the principle that he was upset about, which I disagree with him on.
Yeah.
I want to reiterate.
Yep.
But I don't remember him using the word insult.
He said, "I'm pretty frustrated."
Yeah, that's not being insulted.
Yeah,
with a multi-million dollar
offer.
I'm not
signing that thing.
Yeah.
But he wasn't referring to the offer.
That's the tender.
He's referring to the tender when he talks about that.
Right. So I think that's worth clarifying. Even though I am very much against Mankins' stance in this situation.
Good pull.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. But I just, you know, it's not all. It's not all or nothing like that. I don't think he used the buzzwords that really get under everybody's skin with the feeding the family and the insult on the multi-year, multi-million dollar contract.
And by the way,
if
Andy was here, I think he'd be with us too. I think
he is. We talked about it yesterday when he made these comments, when Mankins made these comments. We're all in agreement. We're in lockstep in this one.
On a lighter note, says John, the last show was vintage PFW in progress. Fred has to be the MVP as he gets everyone, but mostly Paul, so worked up.
he so does.
It might be
that is so accurate.
It might be a good idea to post the warning signs of a stroke, especially if Paul puts on a few more pounds. Fred, take it easy on him. The guy's got kids, for God's sake.
Who is this from?
John and Lynn.
He's becoming a Hall of Famer quickly.
For Kraft to lose Tom Brady would be the business equivalent of Harry Carey, so I'm not worried. He had a damn good season for coming off major knee surgery. Just ask Carson Palmer. He's got the workaholic Brady.
Carson Palmer had a very similar season, by the way, his year coming off knee surgery. That's grossly misrepresented.
He threw for four Gs?
Over 4,000 yards and something like 26 touchdowns. I can look it up.
Wow.
Hold on.
He's not the workaholic Brady of 04, but now he's a crafty veteran who supplants the need for a top-notch offensive coordinator a la Peyton Manning. And Eric let it slip that his desperate fawning over Petrucci last week was just an act, and it occurred to me that maybe we've been duped all this time. We'll probably find out from TMZ that Eric leaves work, pulls off his skinhead wig, and zips off in his Lamborghini with this week's runway model.
Your lips to God's ears.
That ain't happening.
At the same time, Paul gets out of his fat suit and heads over to his night job as a stripper. And Andy,
also ain't happening.
And Andy, after volunteering on Tuesdays at the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank, enjoys discussing international/Middle East relations over a snifter of brandy at the Harvard Club. Maybe Fred's real name is Jake Steele, although I don't know why he'd bother, as he's already the second most interesting man in the world. That's true. But I don't drink Dos Equis. I have tried Dos Equis. I'm not.
When you do drink beer, what do you drink?
Carson Palmer.
Sam Adams.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
Carson Palmer got hurt in 05.
Their sponsor.
And in 06, he started all 16 games, completed 62.3% of his passes, 4,035 yards, 28 touchdowns, 13 picks, 93.9
good memory,
passer
Paul.
Rating.
What?
Because everybody always uses Carson Palmer. Now, much like Brady, he wasn't as good as his numbers indicate. Brady had statistically a solid season last year.
But you wouldn't say it was a career
year. He wasn't anywhere
year.
Near as good as he has been over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
It's true.
He was not up to his normal, especially in the second half when games were decided and coming from behind.
Why is your mouth agape?
Well, I'm very interested because Gillette just came out with a new ProGlide razor. Now Schick is coming out with this Hydro razor.
Yes.
You know, and Schick's always been one step behind Gillette, but this is interesting. I'm wondering what it's all about.
I also wanted to get.
I'm always into a good shave.
Yes, that's typical.
Especially in your back.
Typical Fredism when we actually do have things that people are talking about.
A lot of guys think shaving is a chore.
I hate it.
I enjoy shaving the face.
I hate it.
You do?
You enjoy shaving all your body parts.
Yeah, that's.
But I don't do that every day.
Your man groomer and your manscaping.
But I think this a good shave is.
Well, that's why I don't shave for like 3 or 4 days because it's such a better shave when you actually do shave. You know,
But then you walk around looking scraggly.
But that's.
Like, I didn't shave this morning. Can you tell?
Yes.
Yeah. You ever get the barbershop?
It's like, not that straight edge, but I can tell.
Yeah. I've never gotten one of those.
Oh, I've had one.
Is it good?
There's a guy in Boston, Mr. Richards. It's right across from City Hall Plaza. And remember that Bruins
playoff? He's dead, mate.
Remember the coach that used to be in the Bruins?
Keith Richards is dead?
No. Well, I mean, he died like 20 years ago. Nobody told him, though.
The Bruins coach that had that haircut.
How did I miss that?
He had the haircut before the playoff game, and they made a big deal about it. I forget the name. Anyway,
what a great story.
He used to go to Mr. Richards. Anyway, this is like he's like old-style barber where, you know, he'll lean you back and he'll put the hot towel over your face.
Right, for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's what he does. So if you're looking for
old school. You know the old school barbershops are making a comeback?
Are they?
There are a lot more of those things popping up.
Yeah. Because men don't want that foofy Newberry Street
stuff.
Well,
except for the quarterback of the Patriots.
Well, I'm.
What?
What? And they do the whole. You got like the shoe shine service. You got the haircut, the shave, all that stuff. There are a lot of those now.
Right. Yeah,
now
I have a gift card to the barbershop lounge for a free
girl
shave.
In the back giving you a knob job.
Oh, my God.
What?
Once again.
You
taking
could have
it
just gone with the
way
happy
over the
ending.
Line.
You have to take it way over the line.
Taking it way over the line,
really?
Fred. Yes.
Is that not right?
Was that not right? Was that wrong?
But I was a major bobblehead.
Speaking of.
All right. Let's see. Preston from Brockton, wondering what do you think of the offense going into the season, particularly the receiver position? I personally like the Hernandez pickup. Do you think he'll be a major factor in the offensive scheme?
I think both he and Gronkowski are going to be major factors that are going to add a different element to this offense than we've had in previous years because both of them seem to have the ability to catch the ball, which our tight ends haven't been able to do.
And I do think Hernandez in particular could be more active in terms of receptions. I think he'll be more involved in the offense. I think Gronkowski could make some bigger plays. I don't think he'll just be a guy who catches 10 passes but might have 5 touchdowns. I think he'll catch passes during the course of the season. I think Hernandez, you're going to see part of the game plan every week, whereas Gronkowski might come and go, depending on matchups.
I should add, I think I'm a little anxious to see Crumpler when they've put the pads on in some game action, too, because from what little we've seen so far, I've been somewhat impressed with his ability to move around the field.
Well, he's definitely, back in the day, was a very athletic pass-catching tight end. I think those days are behind him now. He looks so big to me. I don't see how he's going to get out of his own way. Definitely still has the soft hands, though. He's made a lot of catches in practice. Now, I think it's a difference when it's November and you're carrying that extra weight and dealing with injuries and banged up.
I mean,
and
I don't
pounded
think he's going to get downfield.
I think he's going to be the run tight end.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get downfield like a Gronkowski should be able to do, but I think you might see him chip, you know, off the line and then catch some short passes in space.
Sure.
With
Mankins, one other thing I wanted to, a lot of people have talked about he needs the accrued season. You know, he has to return by week 10 if he wants an accrued season so he can get to free agency.
Right.
And that is accurate, but I think that it's worth bringing up the possibility, I don't know this is going to be a fact, but I don't think that he needs to get the accrued season, and this is why.
Because
chances are the CBA is going to get ironed out,
right,
you know, at some point.
Right.
And I cannot see free agency, the players agreeing to go,
to go
all the way
to 6 years.
From 4 years
right.
to 6 years.
Right.
They may
not
go to five. They right. may compromise and say, all right, 5 years before you can hit unrestricted free agency.
But he'll be
can't see it going all the way to six.
Either way, he'll be an unrestricted free agent.
I think even if he doesn't get that accrued season, the CBA gets patched up. If he sits out the whole year, he would be he would have 5 accrued seasons still. And I think that if the CBA gets resolved, he would be an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I agree. So
I don't think he needs to play in order
point.
To get anything.
This might be one of the rare circumstances where a guy can sit out the whole year and not have to worry about it.
Right. Let's see. Ivan from Roseville. Hey, Fred. I'm wondering if you're going to read this email, even though I didn't write it during the show. I'll read it. I was reading some stuff online, and I read that Benjamin Watson scored a 48 on his Wunderlich test, which is apparently equal to a 172 IQ. I was really surprised with the score because you would think he could teach himself to catch. He's got to have the rim shot ready. There you go. Good. Good. Anyway.
I think it was a 41, but I did read something that said 48.
He wasn't a dumb guy.
No.
He was a very bright guy.
Very smart.
Very bright guy.
Anyway, you
guys.
He
went to Duke. Originally, he went to Duke. He transferred to Georgia.
Is that right? You guys nearly blew my ears with that argument about the 0.1% that Brady doesn't re-sign with the Pats thing. It's 0.1%. For all we know, the situation could be a giant ploy to screw over the Colts. For example, the Colts waste their salary cap room. I know there's no cap this year, but for later years, to sign Manning to a $100 million contract, while we, upon hearing the news, sign Brady to a $70 million contract. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think so.
That's I disagree with that. We'll try harder next time with our argument to see if we can actually get your eardrums to blow out.
Right, but we did talk a lot about that last week, and we did get some emails about it. You know, I think that if I'm Brady, I heard somebody on the radio saying this, and I kind of agree. I'm not in a rush to re-sign. I'm going to wait until Manning signs his deal. You know,
Well, I'm wondering if he wants to become a free agent.
Yeah.
And that's why he's not in a rush to sign.
Yeah.
I think that might help him more than Manning.
I think the more likely scenario is Manning. Manning and Brady are kind of watching each other, and they're keeping score.
Somebody's going to have to blink first, though. I keep saying it.
But my question is, see, I don't think it's as important to Manning because I don't think there's any doubt that Indianapolis plans on making Manning the highest paid guy.
Right.
Whereas I think there probably is doubt on Brady's part. How much are they willing to give me?
Yeah.
You know, because it's not pay. I mean, you can. It's not an insult, Fred, but it would be out of character for the Patriots to blow Brady out of the water and say, we're willing to make him the highest paid player in the NFL. Yeah. That would be out of character.
They don't pay money if they don't have to. Yeah.
Right.
Nolas is a Venezuelan in New Jersey, and he's getting closer to Foxborough. He's a Patriots fan. Since I saw Tom go in replacing Drew, I love the team and what it represents, the Patriots way. And listen to you talk about Tom Brady's personal life like he's a piece of equipment property of the New England Patriots. I understand the fan bias stuff, but come on. Unless he becomes a Jake Delhomme flop, don't come with the BS that he is less a Patriot because he is not in a bunk bed in the locker room 24/7 during preseason activities. Hear, hear. I think that comparing Mr. Manning's situation with Tom Brady's situation is totally unfair. In Manning's marriage, there is only one high-profile person there, and as far as I know, there is no children. The other part of the couple can easily accommodate to Mr. Manning's needs and is not the same for Tom Brady. Besides, both are profile figures. There are children, and also Tom has another child outside the marriage. All people's situations are different. So you can't draw comparisons because it's not fair. I understand that his actual situation breaks the hardcore rules of the way the Patriots way should be. So what I respect, he is trying to balance his personal life and his professional life. And don't brand the 1% stuff or the lingering thought that he may not come back. If you are able to argue for more than 2 minutes, it means that you really think it could happen. This stuff, those things are just safety.
I really do think it could happen.
Those things.
I don't think it will, but it could.
Those things are just safety nets to protect you, the hardcore Brady fans as I am, as well as the Patriots fan, and they don't work. Besides, I don't need Tom Brady scoring 50 points per game. I prefer the Super Bowl season type style where he needed to only score 21 points.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And a good defense that controls the other team, the defense that gave Mr. Manning nightmares.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's what I'm looking for, is Tom Brady that won Super Bowls.
And
Tom Brady that won Super Bowls spent his offseasons in Foxborough.
And he says,
next,
I'd rather hear Bible
that
slash.
That email's an embarrassment.
I'd rather hear Bible slash Star Wars.
Zero to hot, Paul Perillo.
Just saying, you guys, that email's a total embarrassment. That email is the prototypical, don't talk bad about my boy Tom.
Well, you shouldn't.
I'll tell you something. I don't think the coaches and the owner are all that thrilled that the quarterback hasn't been in Foxborough the last three off seasons, based on their comments.
I think they'd all rather have him here, but
exactly.
They realize
and
that
so
that's
would
not
I.
reality.
But why can I say that? Why can't we say that? Andy, Eric, and I tried to say that last week. It's okay if the Patriots say it, but if we say it, we're wrong. We're attacking poor Tom.
I'd rather hear Bible slash Star Wars comparisons than you guys trading Brady and or Moss. If it happens...
Moss isn't getting traded. No one wants him.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's Nolas. So
that was really
player.
Interesting. Not
brainless.
Oh.
Wow. Vinesy says you guys just screaming like Jabberwockies for 40 minutes about Tom Brady is retarded. Worst show ever, and it's all Fred's fault. Also, Eric forgot to convey the criticism from last Tuesday's show that several emailers complained because you guys talk over each other like monkeys in a cage having poo fights and drinking from their own urine fountains.
I did read those emails, didn't you? Remember, you know, Paul?
Just listen. Sometimes you have arguments in life, and you start talking while the other guy before the other guy finishes. It happens. We don't do it on purpose.
Clearly,
we don't yell at each other on purpose. Sometimes it happens.
Clearly, you guys didn't get a big enough lunch last show because one or two of you usually stay out of those retarded therapy sessions so you can stuff your faces. Wow.
That's because it was late in the show. We were all done eating.
And he says, I can't wait for next Tuesday show.
Nobody's bought us lunch lately.
Thanks, Vinesy.
Except for Paul in Everett over here.
Yeah, the no, Warren. Warren bought us lunch
originally
last
from
week.
Everett. Yeah, Warren did. That's true.
Warren picked us up last week.
It's been we've been in a dry spell for lunch buyers.
In all seriousness, with the arguments and stuff, sometimes we don't have those drop dead arguments all the time. But
yes, we do.
Sometimes we have them.
Fred's starting one right now.
When you argue with someone, do you sit there and politely allow the other person to finish every time you argue with someone?
I try.
But I mean, seriously.
My life.
Well, that's not an argument. That's a beatdown. That's not an argument.
My argument to put words in my mouth.
Sometimes you talk over each other. We don't do it on purpose. It's not our intention before we start arguing to say, let's just yell and scream into the mic and not let everybody finish. And
well, it's my fault. It's my role to
well, it's because you say things you don't believe
should,
when you're
no,
on the air.
I should supervise it.
You
to make
don't
sure
even believe your own
that people
crap.
Aren't talking over each other. I should, you know.
It happens.
As the host, the moderator.
It's not our intention. We apologize. And I'm probably the most guilty of that. So I apologize for that.
I apologize a thousand times to you.
No, Andy's the worst. Because he's just one
he's
stream
motor
of
mouth.
Consciousness.
Right.
There's no breath there.
Well, Andy
and he talks louder.
He takes the arguments to ridiculous levels.
Right.
He'll give you a comparison that is so
You have
off.
To defend something that you didn't even say, and you're wasting time defending things that you didn't even say.
Right. Plus, he makes up things about everybody.
You know,
and,
his is the classic, you know, Paul, when did you stop beating your wife?
Exactly.
You know, and now you're
like this show. You're screwed either way.
Right.
Yeah.
And Fred changes his argument midstream, so it ends up being right. My problem is I argue about everything, and I can't just let anything go.
Right.
And Eric doesn't get involved in anything.
He's got a small.
He's above us.
He's drunk a lot. That's why he's so angry.
No, Eric gets involved. He looks at me like wild-eyed. Like, how could you say that? Oh my God! Only a madman would say that.
He's like crazy eyes on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Please
leave
me alone, Eric. My bottom is really sore.
Sam in Chicago. Thanks for the show last week. Staying with Eric and Lindsay, chaperoned by Paul, was a great way to get to know some more about the writers of PFW. Eric, for some tips as to how you, too, can be in bed by midnight, listen to last week's show again.
I just want to be in bed. I don't care if it's
good,
midnight.
Good, Sam. Good.
Good.
Paul does nothing but ask Lindsay questions. Paul is also married, which helps with his safe demeanor. You have to hide your intentions better and, most importantly, slow down. If you can, when the moment comes.
Wow.
Talk about over the line.
I think Eric doesn't want to meet you in Chicago anymore.
I think Sam's jealous. I think there's some jealousy
there
in there.
There might be some jealousy there.
Wow, yeah.
I think Sam was jealous.
By the way, where are these damn bikini pictures that we were promised?
He's working on the tan, right?
He's going to be sending them over next week, probably.
And there's him not slowing down again. He's just where are these bikinis?
It's been weeks now.
Let's
see. Weeks, Paul.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And, is there someone on the phone?
Yeah, for about a half hour.
Oh.
During the last break, he got on.
Is it Mike in Puerto Rico?
No, it's Brad in Baltimore.
Oh, Brad.
No, who is it?
Brad in the Eastern Shore.
Brad in Chesapeake Bay.
Maryland.
Brad, how you doing?
I'm good. By the way, I'm the same Brad Tangway that you guys thought was Gary Tangway's brother or son. When I email, so.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Just so you guys can put all the pieces together.
There you go. I thought I had you confused with the other Brad Tangway, so
yeah.
I'm glad that you cleared that up.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, it's confusing up, when you get all these, you know, other topics going, like urinating and men's health and Bible and Star Wars.
Are you on VoIP?
Am I on VoIP?
Did you ever notice he uses a different device every time?
Voice over IP?
No.
Oh, okay. You sound like it's digital.
Oh, no, calling from my office today.
Oh, good.
But I unfortunately had to go out at 2 o'clock, and I figured that's when you guys would come on, so I missed the first hour. So I don't want to beat Mankin's thing to death, but I did have a couple comments.
No, by all means, beat it to death.
Well, that's the story of the day, so you can't really beat it to death.
I'm confused as to two things. His quote was, "They asked me to play out the uncapped year."
Yeah, that quote was sort of amended a little bit by Mike Reese.
It was out of context. It was changed to during the uncapped year.
They said they were going to take care of him during the uncapped year.
Okay.
But they have tried to.
Have we even entered the uncapped year?
Yes.
The uncapped year began on March 1st.
I understand that. But until today, has there been anything that he had to attend?
No.
So therefore, the word "during" could mean week 17 of the uncapped.
Well, yeah, well,
yeah, but it started a long time ago.
It started March 1st, and the season will end February 28th.
Look, the point is, from all the facts we know, the Patriots have addressed this during the uncapped year.
Exactly.
There's a deal on the table.
Right.
So
you're hanging on semantics when you should be focusing on the fact that the Patriots have made him an offer that he is deemed unsuitable, but yet he's claiming that the Patriots aren't dealing with him.
Right.
That's where I think he's wrong.
I'm saying I'm confused as to where his major beef is.
I think his beef is that the offer is not up to his standards.
Okay. And that's a negotiating point.
Exactly.
How many players in the history of the NFL have gotten the perfect deal the first time?
Right. And that's one of the frustrations for the Patriots, from what I understand, is there hasn't been a counteroffer.
Right.
All they've been saying is, we want Jari Evans' contract.
Right. If they hadn't made him any offer as to right now, I would be 100% behind him in saying, they said they were going to deal with me, and they haven't.
They haven't done anything.
I wouldn't be standing on semantics saying, well, they still might somewhere down the line. No, this is when you deal with this stuff, not during the season. Not during training camp in the season. So this is when it needs to get done, and... But the reason I'm on the Patriots' side here is I think they've made him an offer, and he obviously doesn't. He doesn't think they made an offer that's worthy of even offering a counterproposal.
Right. It's not even a starting point.
Right. I mean, my thing is, let's pick on Mesko, because I picked on him last week.
Okay.
He hasn't signed yet. So they offer him a contract. Is he going to run out to ESPN.com or you guys or somebody else and say, I don't like that contract. I don't think they're negotiating with me.
A rookie doesn't really have that kind of,
but
especially a rookie.
Mankins, that's my point.
Mankins does.
At this point in Mankins' career, what leverage does he have other than to...
He can withhold his services, and you need his services.
Do we? Cazier.
Let's just get rid of all the good players then.
No. I see Cazier playing guard. You guys have talked about it in all the OTAs.
Yeah.
Cazier's been playing guard.
Well, yeah, playing them in OTAs and practice with no pads on is different than playing it at a high level in a real game.
I mean, if Tom Brady were in a contract holdout right now, Brian Hoyer would be playing quarterback. It doesn't mean that your team is the same.
I don't disagree with that. But neither is Logan Mankins, as I heard just as you guys went on break, as I called at 3 o'clock.
good job, Fred.
You guys made I think Paul made a great point.
I agree.
The emailer said, you know, he played the worst game of his career on the biggest stage.
He did.
And
they all did. All five of them did.
Yes, I agree with that.
But he was one of them, no question. He had a bad, bad game.
He had a terrible game. And yes, he may be a Pro Bowler, but haven't we beat Brandon Merriweather to death about being a Pro Bowler?
No, but Logan Mankins is a worthy Pro Bowler. He's a two-time All-Pro Bowler.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. But I'm saying he isn't Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
See, I think in terms of his position, he is. But I just don't have that much of a value for that position. I think guard is in the bottom 10% of importance on a football team.
Bingo.
That's why I'm 100% in the Patriots camp here.
And don't you think that as much as he'd love to say, I'm the important cog in the wheel?
Nah, he can't say that. You're right. You're absolutely right, Brad.
No, he knows that he isn't.
Yeah, he can't say it. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
And so I think this is ridiculous that he has watched. I mean, he's been here 4 years now. He's watched
Five.
He's watched guys like Ty Law make the comments. He's watched guys like Asante Samuel make the comments. Is he just looking for a revolving door out?
That's what it seems like, yeah. That's what it seems like.
Question for me, because you guys are more capologists than I am.
Yeah.
His salary, if they drop it to the $1.5 million, okay, and he sits out this year, and they franchise him, don't they only have to pay him 20% more than his current salary?
No. They would have to pay him the average of the top five players at his position.
I thought it was the top five or...
No.
Or is that the transition?
Yes, whichever's higher. Whichever's greater.
Oh, it's whichever's greater.
Right.
Okay. Because I was going to say, for crying out loud, they could franchise him just to screw him and let him just sit at home all year.
No, he'd make out pretty well.
Well, you talking about franchising him now?
No, no.
Next year? Because you can't franchise him now.
No, no, next year.
Yeah, no, next year if they wanted to franchise him, they could. They absolutely could if they wanted to franchise him next year.
But remember, we could be working under a new CBA where it's a
system.
If there is, if there is indeed a franchise tag next year,
right?
Who knows?
I'm just saying. I think, I mean, my example is far fetched with Mesko being the same type and saying I want to hold out because I want, you know, I don't like this deal. But really, he has no leverage other than to sit home for 9 weeks.
Yeah, Well, you can sit home for the whole year. I think that's a lot of leverage.
Scenario, right, under your scenario. But I'm saying, given what we've got today, he could sit home for 9 weeks.
Yes, I think that's a lot of leverage.
And how much leverage is that?
See, I think he can get what he wants by sitting home. I think most players in his position don't have the amount of leverage that he has because I don't think they have a situation where if he doesn't play, he's probably going to be a free agent when the season ends. And I think that's where Logan Mankins is right now. I also think that we often say the player doesn't have any leverage. How many times, Fred, do we hear it with Deion Branch? He doesn't have any leverage. He doesn't have any leverage.
He got what he wanted.
He sat out week one, and suddenly he got leverage and got what he wanted. He got his contract somewhere else. That's what Mankins wants. At some point, the team has to sit there and say, what's in the best interest for me? And I think for the team, if he decides to really put his stick his heels in and say, I'm not budging – you got to trade him, and that's what Mankins wants. And I think that's the best for the team if it gets to the point where there's no signs of him ever coming back to play for you.
And will we be worse off without Mankins, with Kazure or Arnberger or fill in the blank?
Yes. How much worse off? I don't know, Brad.
At least
but
short term.
You will not have his player as good as Logan Mankins playing left guard.
At least short term, you will.
But how much worse off?
I don't know the answer.
With 3 first-round draft picks.
Well, you're not. Why you automatically assume? It's funny. You think that you're not going to miss Mankins, but you're going to get a first round pick in return for him.
Well, we did with Deion.
Yeah, Deion was a good player,
and so is Mankins. You just said it.
I think he is, but I don't think he's going to get your first round pick.
And you know, I have to admit, they missed Deion Branch.
They sure did.
Yeah,
they
Tom
sure
Brady
did.
Sure as
you know, how
did.
Much worse were they that year?
Right.
In my opinion,
yeah, a lot.
The difference between home field in the AFC Championship and the road team in the AFC Championship. That, to me, was the difference between having the guy and not. I don't think Mankins will be that big of a deal because I'm agreeing with Brad here. I don't think guard is that high on the priority list. But you're not going to have a player playing that position that's as good as Logan Mankins.
Yeah. I'm willing to take a hard line.
I am, too.
As the Patriots in this, because I agree with Paul. You know, the risk there is worth taking, you know, to make a point to the player, you know.
I think it boils down to, though, if we can get, let's say we get a second.
Sure.
If we can get a second round draft pick and go into next year's draft with 2 firsts and what now, 3 seconds?
Yeah. Listen, it's the same thing that people said about Richard Seymour.
And I was all for that.
Right. And you weren't as good a team last year as you could have been. So you have to weigh, do I want to be better in the future as opposed to now? Same thing with Mankins. It's a very, very similar situation. You can make an argument if you get a high draft pick for him, well, I'm set up for the future. I'll make that trade. And I would. I agree with you. I would have made the Seymour trade. I'm agreeing with you again, Brad. I would have made the Seymour trade. But you can't argue in 2009 you weren't as good as you could have been.
But
you would have been a better team in 2009.
But Seymour's was a more important cog in the wheel.
I agree.
Than Mankins is.
I agree.
So if I can get a high second round pick from, we'll say, Oakland, just as an example.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I would do that. Yes.
Exactly. Now,
but in 2010, I'm not as good as I would have been with Mankins.
I understand. But
that's all. But you have to say that. You have to recognize that fact.
But the drop off from Mankins to Kazure may not be as great as the drop-off from Seymour to Jarvis Green.
And I would 100% agree with you.
Who was never a starter, who was only a fill-in player, and did not have the bulk to play the position that he was put in.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%, Brad.
So I think that we, to look at in the long run, he can try to say he's got leverage. I just don't see it. I saw on the wonderful Patriots.com, which is an out-of-staters Bible, a comment was made, why not get him to San Diego for Vincent Jackson?
I think we talked about that in the office yesterday.
Yeah. We talked about that, and Andy might have thrown it out there. I would do that trade in a heartbeat. I'm not sure San Diego would, but I would do that trade in a heartbeat.
Oh, because, why not?
Because you also have to give up $50 million if you're San Diego to get Logan Mankins.
But what are you going to give up for Vincent Jackson to keep him?
Vincent Jackson's a better player.
Right. So you're going to give up more than $50 million.
You're not going to give up more than $50 million because that's what wide receivers are getting right now.
Yeah, Marshall
just got
million.
48.
No, but I'm saying if you're San Diego and Vincent Jackson's pulling the same deal there that Mankins is here, you're going to get an all-pro Pro Bowl guard.
Yeah, but
who's not as valuable as an all-pro Pro Bowl
wide receiver position is more important.
But it's going to cost you the same.
But he's not going to be satisfied with 50. He's going to want 58 or 60.
But market value for a wide receiver is 50. That's what it. I mean, who's making more than that? Larry Fitzgerald? Maybe. Yeah. I mean, Bolden got $28 million from Baltimore. Marshall got $48 million from Miami. Bryant didn't get anywhere near that. It's in Cincinnati. The wide receivers that just came up didn't make 60 or 70 million.
Yeah.
But if you take Vincent Jackson away from San Diego, what have you got for wide receivers?
Malcolm Floyd.
Malcolm Floyd's your number one then.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a big drop-off after that.
But you're proving my point. Why would San Diego make this deal? That's exactly what my point is. They're giving up a better player in return for a lesser player, and they're leaving themselves short at an important spot.
But if he's going to sit out, let's say they both sit out, who's hurt more? I say San Diego.
San Diego would be hurt more.
San Diego would be.
Jackson's a better player.
To the deal and get a good thing in return than to lose out on him next year as a free agent. See, to me, the Patriots can lose Mankins. He can sit out all year like your scenario.
Right.
And he's... Will he hurt the Patriots? Yes, I'm not going to argue that. But he would be a lot easier cog to replace than Vincent Jackson would be for San Diego to replace.
I would agree with that. But that's just proving my point as to why would San Diego make that trade? Why would now they're not in the business of helping other teams, particularly ones that are chief rivals in their conference.
No, I'm not saying it's helping them, but I'm saying if he's going to walk next year, just like Mankins will walk next year, shouldn't San Diego try to get something in return?
I don't think that's a suitable something in return.
No. Maybe we give up Mankins and a third for Vincent Jackson. I'd still do that.
I wouldn't if I'm San Diego. I would rather have him walk as a free agent than give him to a chief rival in my conference and get a guard in return and a draft pick. I would rather let him walk after if he wants to walk as a free agent. I just think there's too much value there.
Yeah, but, in today's NFL, it's almost proven you have to get something. Look at what we did with Seymour. I think we set the tone. It's better to get something than to have the guy walk, because I think everybody would agree we were not going to re-sign Richard Seymour to a big contract this year.
I wouldn't have agreed with that, but I stand alone, I guess. I don't know why they were negotiating with him if they didn't have any intentions of signing him.
I think it was pretty obvious they weren't going to sign him.
Thank you.
Well, that's you're dealing with the wrong guy to back up your point there. He's the guy who told me they were negotiating with him, just so you know. So he obviously just changed his opinion based on suiting the argument.
I said I wouldn't be surprised.
You were the guy that told me they were in negotiations last June with Seymour.
Maybe they were, and they realized,
they weren't getting anywhere.
So
they did their
apart,
typical, let's see
happen.
If we can get him to sign for nothing,
not
and then
happen.
He didn't, so they let him go.
And then they realized we're not going to sign this
but
guy.
They could have if they wanted to.
But that's not the point.
Yeah, they
but no,
sign
you're making an argument that they wouldn't sign him under any circumstances. I don't think that's true. I think they could have.
If Richard Seymour stopped being Richard
they
Seymour,
have,
they might have.
I think
him.
They could have if they wanted to.
Of course.
Why would they want to sign him if he stopped being
you're
Richard
making a different
Seymour.
Argument, but saying that they couldn't re-sign him.
At the
him.
Price that Seymour was demanding,
people
they
said,
did not want to.
People would have said they couldn't have re-signed Wilfork either. They did.
Who said that?
People could have said that.
Not me. I'm
not
consistent.
Yes.
All right, Brian, thanks for Brad,
Brad.
Thanks for the call.
Brad,
I will look
excellent stuff,
hour.
My friend. I'm with you 95% of the way.
All right, Brad in Virginia. Let's see.
Maryland. That's all right.
I know. I'm only kidding.
Yeah, the only part I disagree with is the San Diego thing. I just don't see the Chargers bailing the Patriots out of their problems.
No.
Andrew in the Ukraine, I'd like to change topics just a little. I know all real New Englanders like to obsess over a good sports myth like the Curse of the Bambino. The one I hear a lot about now is this topic of the Patriot way, like it's some sort of Jedi secret or maybe the secret Coca-Cola recipe. I'm especially amused that without Obi-Wan Brewski, this Patriot way can't be taught to the new generation of Patriots. I'd like someone to quantify exactly what is expected of the Patriots players that no other team does. I would also like to know how we are doomed to failure without Brewski or the others who won championships. As I recall, those players grew in a culture of failure and undiscipline under Pete Carroll, and Belichick managed to teach it to them.
Okay. This is another one that I'm about 95% on board with. Those players didn't grow up in a culture of failure. Those players grew up in the previously most successful era of Patriots football. With Parcells.
Yeah.
You know, Ty Law, Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi. Those guys won a lot of games. And Pete Carroll, we can call him. I mean, I don't think Pete Carroll is a good coach. I still don't. But
he finished 500.
And they made the playoffs 2 out of his 3 years. So let's not call them fostering an era of losing. They grew up and they won games. They made the playoffs in 96, 97, and 98. Okay, so let's not call them failures.
We like to have fun.
That's the part I would disagree with. The other part is that I thought the way he said it. What was the email's name, Freddie?
Andrew.
The way Andrew put it, I really, I think it resonated with me. What is it about this, the way the Patriots play
that no other team does?
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. Could not agree more. I mean, it operates under the assumption that the Patriots are the only team that care about winning. There are a lot of teams that win every year. Not just the Patriots.
The Patriot way.
The Patriot way is not a myth, but it's not. It's also not singular to New England.
It's a euphemism for Bill Belichick. That's the Patriot way.
I think there are a lot of teams that play team football that
right.
have a good. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a good system in place.
They do
with a philosophy of principles that they generally adhere to, and it's been successful over a long period of time. The Philadelphia Eagles, very very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis Colts, mm-hmm. very similar. I don't think that the Patriot way is the only way. And I don't think they're the only ones that do it. So in that regard, I really agree with Andrew. But I think that the guys that you're talking about, they did a lot of winning as young players. They did a lot more winning when they hit their primes with mm-hmm. Bill Belichick.
Glenn writes in, I kind of get where Logan's coming from. I'm a professional wedding photographer, and I think I do my job really well. So anytime I see another photographer getting paid more than me yet doing a lesser job, it makes me mad. So I can understand his thinking. I'm not saying he's right, but I understand. If you believe yourself to be one of the best, you want to get paid for it.
I would agree with the principle there, but they wanted to, I mean, based on what we're hearing, they want to make him one of the highest paid guys.
Right. He doesn't.
That's the part that I sort of cut ties with Logan about.
Yeah, I mean, and Glenn, if you're offered a job that's maybe, you know, a couple hundred less than you normally get, but you need the work, you're going to take the job, aren't you?
Right, but...
But it seems like you wouldn't take the work unless you're the highest paid photographer.
Right.
Because that seems to be where Logan Mankins is coming from.
TG and NJ, guys, last couple of shows. Leave the Triple Y girl alone. She won't be here long. You guys will scare her away, especially Squidward. Typically, the Paul and Fred arguments are good, but the last one on Brady sucked. It took up the whole show, and in the end, you guys agreed as usual. No offense, Fred, but I think you guys need to do another hour of PFW without Fred. We can get our entertainment in the first 2 hours, then on to football for the third hour. That's a good idea. We can talk about everything else, and then I'll leave, and you guys can talk about
football. So you can go to your meetings.
Right. Are there any good veteran guards walking the streets right now that the team could bring in for camp?
Good question. I don't know the answer to it, though. Anyone? Bueller?
Gone past that whole free agency thing. I think you're at the bottom of the barrel at this
point. I can't imagine there's a real quality player out there to be had.
Is Alan Faneca still out there?
No, he signed with the Cardinals.
You know, and
besides the fact that he was done last year.
I make the case, you know, do you really need a high-level quality guard?
They drafted all these linemen the last couple of years. Got to try to...
I know.
That Patriot way that
we're... I tend to side with you on this.
Mysterious Patriot way we were talking about, they need to start learning.
Yeah. I just don't think that's a spot that you need to devote a tremendous amount of resources to.
I mean, who is it for the Patriots that started in the Super Bowl, and they look fine?
Russ Hochstein?
Russ Hochstein, you know? Cedric, Chicago. Fred, why are you waiting for Andy to take off to be naughty? Come on, it would be great to have a sidekick to Andy. Anyway, are you satisfied with what you've seen so far from Gronk and Aaron? Is it possible to convert Aaron from tight end to wide receiver, maybe a slot to middle threat wide receiver? And, Paul, keep up the great work. You're a great G's. I don't know what that means.
G's?
Eric, keep on chasing. And, Fred, no comment. You are Hall of Fame material. Bring back Andy as soon as possible,
no,
please.
No, no. Andy's banned.
Gronk
this is
and
a
Aaron.
Great show today without Andy.
Aaron has certainly shown his athletic ability out there.
Yeah, he's not a wide receiver, though.
No.
I don't think he's a wide receiver either. I think he's more of a hybrid kind of guy, like an H-back kind of guy than he would be a wide receiver. But definitely the athleticism to make some plays. I think he's going to be a part of the offense. It was nice to see him today. We missed him the last two OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't out there, so clearly he was dealing with something, you know, physical. He was out there today. And Gronkowski, I think, is, you know, not to work Andy's side of the street, the total package.
There you go.
One butt ball.
Mikey Vandalism writes, and here's a premium last-minute question. With Mankins claiming he would like to be traded, with the Pats slashing his tender in half, wouldn't that be an attractive number to trade away to almost any team? What do you think we can get for him, a player or another ailing position such as outside linebacker or a replacement guard or another position or draft pick? The problem with that, Mikey, is if he's sitting out on the Patriots because he can't get another contract, he's going to sit out with the other team. He's not going to play for that tender offer. It doesn't matter where.
Yeah, he's not going to sign it here or anywhere else.
Right. So, you know, you're going to have to negotiate a long-term contract with Mankins. So, and he's going to want at least, you know, $8 million a year or somewhere along there. So there's no bargain if you trade for Mankins if you're another team. That's the problem. It's the same problem getting Vincent Jackson.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to pay the guy.
Yeah, and I would do that. I would pay him if I were the Patriots. I think the San Diego might as well just say, why won't I just pay him?
Right.
And why should I give him to my rivals?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can talk about collusion with the RFA, the restricted free agents, but I think that went into a lot of the thinking of these teams. I got to give up draft picks and I got to pay this guy who's in his fifth year a pretty good salary, you know?
Yeah, I like the first part of that statement better.
Okay. Colin from
Brussels. You're agreeing with 95% of everybody today, it seems.
Colin from Brussels. Been listening to the podcast for a few months now, but first time writing in. Great stuff, especially for an ex-Pats fan missing football.
Who, an ex-Pats fan? He's back?
An ex-Pat Pats fan.
Oh. Yeah, an ex-Patriot.
Ex-Patriot.
Oh, okay.
Paul got all excited.
No, I was like, what? I thought we won someone back. I did get excited. I thought he was an ex-Patriots fan, and because of us,
he became a Patriots fan again. Yeah.
I also got an online subscription right after Fred's sacrilege of comparing the Bible and Star Wars. To me, there is no comparison. Star Wars is better. Two things for Paul. First of all, last week you said that you wouldn't re-sign Randy Moss no matter what after this year. You said we've gotten all we're going to get from him, but then said he was still one of the best four or five wide receivers in football.
Yeah, I just don't think he will be for much longer.
Are you saying that if you could get him for a reasonable price or another short-term contract, you wouldn't take him? Admittedly, we probably won't want to pay him what he wants, but that's another issue. If we can get him on the cheap, why not? He's still an ace receiver, and we need that now and next year.
Okay. I think that's a good point. Let me give an amendment and say if I could get him for a one-year, $5 million deal, yeah, I would probably be.
Right.
You know, provided that he has a decent year this year, I would be willing to do that. I agree with you, Fred. I don't think you'd be able to.
Nope.
But I am not interested, even if he has another really, really big year, I'm not interested in re-signing him for a four-year deal virtually any money because I think that he's a ticking time bomb. And I think that I think the Patriots, as a team and as a coaching staff and as an organization, do an awful lot to keep him happy.
And
I don't think you need that headache.
Think about the receiving, you know, the receivers as a unit. At some point, you need to develop your receiving unit for the future.
Yeah.
And as long as Randy Moss is here, it's hard
it's
to do
happen.
That. Wes Welker is not, as much as we love Wes Welker, he's not the guy that is going to be your big play receiver down the road. You need to figure out how you're going to replace Moss. Now, you're not going to get a guy like Moss's caliber unless you're extremely lucky. But who's going to be your number one? Wes Welker is never going to be that guy.
We saw last year with Edelman having the chance to move
even
up
Edelman's
early.
Edelman's not going to be that.
No, no, but I mean, you,
Brandon Tate might be, but you don't know.
But I'm saying you had a chance where a young guy had the opportunity to step in because
right.
the older guy wasn't around for the yeah. whole time. The same thing on the offensive line with the Mankins situation. You've got all these guys they drafted the last couple of years.
Right.
They need a chance at some point to get in there and play.
Let's see. Colin says, also, I couldn't agree more about soccer. It sucks. And I live in European Soccer Central, so that the locals are probably surrounding my house carrying torches and pitchforks as I write this. I did actually see one great soccer match in my life, one great goal after another. It was really nice. Then I realized that the uniforms had changed a couple times. What I was watching was a highlight reel of all the week's games. Regrettably, I had to sign up my son for soccer because it's the only friggin' sport anybody plays here, and I nearly had to puke. Oh, well. So there's someone who lives in Europe and hates soccer.
That's a real rarity.
But he's an expat.
He's an expat. Yes.
So he's from here originally.
Yes, we understand
that. And he's a previous Patriots fan.
You didn't get me excited about that one.
All right. Sorry. Well, let's.
Sorry, Paul.
And anyway, we'll end with Steve's email. He said the last caller was nuts. The guy is trying to rationalize losing your best offensive lineman. I'm just shaking my head. And, Paul, you may not value guards as much as quarterbacks and wide receivers, but it is hard for wide receivers to catch passes from Brady when he doesn't have time to set up and throw.
Listen, we're not going to have nobody on the field. There's not going to be just an open space where Logan Mankins used to play. Somebody is going to play that spot, and I don't think the difference between Mankins and that somebody will be the difference between wins and losses. That's all. That's all I'm
you
trying
know,
to say.
Maybe one of the things, you know, because we don't really know what's going on. We kind of know what's in Mankins' mind, but we don't know what's in his mind as he compares himself to the rest of the line. And maybe his thinking is, without me, that line sucks, and they know it.
You might be right.
Maybe. You know, so maybe you know that's really what he's saying. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back Thursday. Remember, there's mini camps tomorrow and Thursday. Tons of content going up on Patriots.com. Patriots Today with Linda Three Wise. What's her name?
Lindsay
Three Wise. And Eric's excited.
2 to 4 on
Two
Thursday.
2 to 4
again.
Thursday. All right, we'll see you then.
Dick Stadium.